Hey,
welcome to
Urban Planning is Not Boring. I'm Sam.
And I'm Nat.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Urban Planning is Not Boring. This is our second episode back from our little break, and we are really excited to have some folks from APA. We've talked about APA a lot of times on this podcast, but with the California conference quickly approaching, we are really excited to have some representatives from various chapters of APA from throughout California joining us on this episode to talk a little bit about being young and emerging planners and the best ways to network and how to get meaningful relationships and get the most out of attending a conference like APA. So today we have Tony Lopez from APA Inland Empire, Brittany Montano from APA Los Angeles, and Kyle Wilson from APA Orange County. And I'm going to have you guys do a quick introduction about yourself, just kind of like who you are. And then if you wouldn't mind talking about how you found the field of planning or how you ended up in this field, I think that's a really like interesting story and everyone's slightly different. And what are your favorite parts about being involved with APA? I'm going to toss it over to Tony to start because we've chatted with Tony before and we've definitely been in conversation with him about the conference so far. So Tony, if you wouldn't mind kicking us off with a little introduction.
Sure. Thanks again, Sam and Nat, for having me. This is my second time on this podcast and I'm really happy to be here. So yeah, I'm Tony Lopez. I'm with the American Planning Association, specifically the Inland Empire section. But I also participate with the Orange County section and the LA section as well. I've been part of the board for about 5 to 6 years as part of the Emerging Planners Group. But recently I've taken a new role as a communications chair for the Inland Empire section, where we have a lot of new programs coming up. And how I found planning was kind of the traditional route for most planners in California, where you kind of get into it when you get into the program. So I started at community college at Mount San Antonio College. Not sure what I really wanted to do with my life. I knew I liked history. I knew I liked geography. So I was taking a lot of, you know, political science classes, GIS classes. And it was one of my GIS classes where my professor told me about urban planning. Luckily, Pomona was down the street and I looked into the program and applied for it and got into it. And on the first day, I kind of fell in love with it. And, you know, I've been having kind of a great career so far with urban planning. And it was great help being part of the American Planning Association as part of it. So my favorite part about being with the APA is, I guess, the leadership. You kind of get into it, you know, right after college, you're not sure what to expect in the professional world. But the APA is a great place to, you know, find some leadership and mentors. And yeah, so that's pretty much my favorite part of the APA is the pipeline for leadership and the opportunities to get mentors.
Awesome. Thank you, Tony. And Brittany, I'm going to pass over to you.
Well, hi, everyone. Thank you again for this opportunity. My name is Brittany Montano. I'm part of the APA LA section. This is my second year being part of just the Young Emerging Planners Committee. Right now, I'm in the role as of co-director. And I think it's been a great experience just being able to network with different people of my community, as well as just not only getting to know myself, but the county that I live in. And I think that's a beautiful interconnected way you can do through APA while, you know, thriving and getting to know your professional journey on that part. I kind of had an odd way around getting into urban planning. I think I was always very conscious of planning in a political sense. When I was growing up, I grew up around Carson and Long Beach area, so very adjacent to the ports and just that transportation network and intricacy that runs the economy. So I think I had kind of like the gumption of, well, let's focus on the environmental and transportation aspect. And also another connected part is I was at UCLA as an undergrad and was a long commuter. So I commuted all years going to UCLA undergrad. And I actually was like, well, I think there's lack of commuter representation for students, especially despite being near the 405 and other transportation options. So I kind of got involved in our student government and kind of highlighted the need of that aspect and was able to help get a transportation referendum passed for graduate students. And with that, I was kind of partnered with a mentor in the urban planning department. And that's when I kind of got exposure. I was like, well, you're kind of already doing this. So through their guidance, I was able to apply for my master's program and continue being at UCLA. And I think just having that exposure and the research institution that it is just made me more galvanized to have planning as part of my journey as a career.
Awesome. Thank you for sharing that. And welcome to the podcast, Kyle.
Yeah. So my name is Kyle Wilson. I'm an urban planner with WATG, which is an international hospitality design firm, mostly. And right now I'm working or volunteering with APAOC. Started going to APAOC events about a year and a half ago. I've been living out here in Orange County for a couple years from Ohio. And Tony brought me in to help the Inland Empire plan this Riverside Conference as the volunteer chair. So I'm helping coordinate all the volunteers for this upcoming conference. So I grew up in suburbia, north of Cincinnati, Ohio, and it was definitely suburban wasteland. I was in cul-de-sac about a mile and a half off of any major road in my nice protected little community. And growing up there, I really did not have much of a sense to interact or much opportunity to interact with urbanity and to see what cities are like. But my dad worked downtown in Cincinnati. And so my experiences with cities were typically going down to the city once a year to bring Christmas cookies to my dad's work. And then we'd go ice skating at this plaza in the middle of downtown Cincinnati. It's called Fountain Square. And walk around the city, and it would just fill me with wonder being there surrounded by the tall buildings. And Cincinnati is a pretty historic city. We were our densest back in the late 1800s, and a lot of that building stock has survived. And so seeing all of that historic building stock and getting to walk around and see all of these things happening all the time really filled me with a lot of excitement. But I wanted to be a rocket scientist. And so that's where I was always like, as a kid, I'm going to be a rocket scientist. And when I started realizing that that wasn't actually my path, is I went on a trip to Washington, D.C. in the summer after sixth grade and fell in love with the architecture of Washington, D.C. And then I thought I was going to be an architect. But going into my junior year of high school, my mom was like, you know, architects have like a 32% unemployment rate or something. I was just seeing on the news. And she's like, maybe you should like consider some alternatives there to architecture. And I wasn't super concerned about the high unemployment rate for architecture, but I was like, it's worth just seeing if there's other things that I've overlooked and my siloed approach to thinking about architecture. So I literally typed into Google, fields related to architecture, and civil engineering comes up, architectural engineering comes up, all these really math heavy things. And contrary to my early aspirations to be a rocket scientist, I'm not that great at math. And I really found that out through high school. And I was like, I'm not going to be an engineer. Don't want to be running numbers all day. I don't like the level of detail that's involved with that. And all of a sudden, like eight down on this list was this thing called urban planning. I'd never heard of it. And so I looked into it and was like, you lobby conversational ability with statistical analysis and bring all these elements together to talk to communities and bring them the things that they need to make the community more whole. And I was like, well, that sounds way better than architecture. This is exactly what I like to do. I mean, I like to talk. I like the math part that I like. I'm a runner and I've always loved just looking at statistics for running and all those things. And so stats is definitely the type of math that I'm more inclined towards. And I was like, this is way better fit for me. And I was lucky to find out that the DAP program at the University of Cincinnati was top 20 small urban planning school in the country. It's just an amazing resource around my backyard. It's an amazing architecture school too. So that's where I was planning on going. But I was like, that's it. That's all I need to do. So I applied to DAP and became an urban planner there. And the rest was history. I did our 5+1 program, got my master's in community planning, my bachelor's of urban planning. I did five internships throughout that, which got to go to Boston and do parking planning, worked for the university for 2 years doing university campus planning and in our community development department. And then I came out here and did hospitality design with WATG for my last internship before my master's, and got to work on international projects and work on master plan communities in Saudi Arabia, China, et cetera. And doing all that design work really excited me and went back to those roots of the architecture that I love, that design that brought me towards this field in the first place. So when I graduated, it was my top choice and was able to get the opportunity to come back here, and really excited to be here in California doing this and being part of the APA. I was kind of disinclined to get involved at first when I moved here to California. I felt like I went from being really connected in the small town of Cincinnati and, you know, the big fish, small pond type thing, to suddenly thrown into the massive ocean of Southern California. And I didn't think I could really affect change in a place with this many people and so foreign to me. So I was really just doing my own thing and started to break down those walls a bit about a year and a half ago, especially moving to Santa Ana, the county seat, and really seeing community here in Santa Ana on a much broader scale than you can find in Irvine, which is a lot more soulless, it seems, at times. And so being in Santa Ana, I was like, I would really like to get involved with the community here and get involved with the APA. And Tony was luckily became my roommate. And so being roommates with someone as involved as Tony, it was really easy to get that networking and to get that leg up and fast track. And so Tony brought me into the fold and we started going to events together, and really loved that opportunity to be a part of a community and with the APA as well.
That's amazing. Thank you guys so much for sharing all of this. And I feel like a lot of our listeners are going to be able to resonate with a lot of what you guys have shared, just kind of not only your journey through, which is always so unconventional. I feel like when we're talking about urban planning, it's never that like straight path forward where everyone's like, yeah, I knew exactly what I was going to do, like out of the womb that I was going to go to urban planning. But I think that's what makes this field really, just really wonderful. So many different people from so many different backgrounds. Also wanted to know what you were saying, Brittany, just kind of about how you were a commuter student, which allowed you to get involved in, you know, navigating some kind of advocacy for like commuter students in general at your institution, which ended up leading you into urban planning, is kind of what Sam and I are always talking about when we say that like urban planning is literally just your daily life and how it's impacting you, and the decisions that you're making to like advocate for yourself is like everybody kind of in their own heart is like an urban planner. And then if you just kind of want to ride that wave, you do it. So I thought that was really great. And Sam and I won't hold it against you that you're a Bruin. We accept everyone here on the podcast. Just wanted to let you know that. So just kind of moving into the discussion for today, we have, again, and we'll just kind of reiterate this a lot, but like there are a lot of people on this podcast who are young and emerging planners. They're very new in the field or they're still in school. And this is kind of how they've come across the podcast. And so we kind of want to talk about why networking matters, because this is for a lot of people like a pivotal point in their starting career as an urban planner. And so we just want to discuss the importance of building your network kind of early on in your career, and how that is able to like influence your growth in urban planning. And so kind of what we want to start off with is like, you know, just essentially kind of if you can share some personal examples of like impacts that networking has had for you guys, and feel free, you know, all of you guys can answer or one of you, it's kind of up to you how you'd like to address the question, but just kind of wanting to highlight examples for folks who are listening to understand the importance of kind of laying that groundwork out in the first place, and just like the door opening that networking has, like the ability that it has to kind of open doors for folks.
Sure, I guess I can start. I think the most important part with urban planning field is the social capital. So this is what learning from experience and career path exploration. So of course, with the APA, you connect a lot with seasoned professionals. Through this, they provide a lot of access to, you know, valuable advice, mentorship experience, and they tell you kind of the interview experience, how to tailor your resume, and with the Inland Empire, my network with the community colleges, I was able to, you know, host four symposiums with community colleges here in California, where I have my networks with professionals from community colleges and also part of the APA, where we can have these symposiums kind of explaining to, you know, people who are not familiar with urban planning, give them opportunity to understand how to transfer to programs in California and also what to expect in the job outlook. So I think just laying out the groundwork is, you know, establishing your social capital here, especially in California.
Yeah, and I totally agree with Tony that it's so critical to kind of lay down what, understand like who is in your network. And sometimes I think we often assume that we have to have someone at such a high leadership position to be able to understand, I have a strong network. But what I've come to understand that it really starts with your friends, with your family, and even whether you study in your bachelor's, a certificate, or your master's, your network starts there. And I think just being able to interconnect with those people and kind of talk about what you're striving towards, maybe you're focused on a certain area of planning, whether it's transportation planning, urban design. And I think just being able to have those free flow conversations just allows you to kind of express what you want to do and then able to connect with others. And that's what all networking is for. And I think when you have a strong network, they're always there to root for you. They're always there to support you. Maybe you say, you know what, I'm pivoting towards public sector. And I've had friends that like, I just saw a post about that. Let me send it to you. I actually have someone that works in that city. Let me connect with you. And I think that's such a beautiful thing. And sometimes I've had those positions where I'm kind of lost. Maybe I'm dealing with some learning curves, whether it was with school or work or my internship. And sometimes just sitting down, having lunch. I'm not a coffee person, matcha, tea, and just talking about this is what I'm going through. And providing that kind of conversation, you understand you're not alone. And I think that's the beautiful thing about networking. You realize you're not alone. There are people there to support you, to understand where you're at, and even learn from their stories. Like, hey, I went through something exactly what you were going through. This is how I got through it. You are also going to continue, and you know, you're going to continue on your career journey. And I think that's just the wonderful thing. And then being able to just chat at different events through APA is such a beautiful thing, because then you also kind of pivot towards just talking about maybe your interest, and then you hear their stories. And again, maybe there's people with maybe mid to late in their career, and they're able to connect with you. And I think that's how you're able to grow this wonderful network. And I just kind of want to give an example with APA LA, our YEP committee. We just had an event, a collaboration with the Southeast Los Angeles Community Map. This is a friend that I had in undergrad at UCLA, and she started a map, and she's currently at MIT getting her master's in urban planning. And I absolutely loved what she did. And I was like, her name's Alejandra Martinez. And I was like, Ale, we need to have a workshop. I think this is so beautiful what you're doing. And I think people want to learn. And she's like, really? And we actually had one. And Tony was at our event last Saturday. And it was just wonderful to see different people, whether from the private or public sector, as urban planners, students, even at USC, come to our events and just realize that, wow, this is a beautiful thing to show how a community map where you're from can, you know, come to life, and how people can do it within their own communities. And just creating those connections, simple as a conversation, just provides an ability of exposure, and just a strong professional network. So that's my long-winded way of saying, you know, it starts where you're at, and then you can grow.
And Brittany hinted at this idea that when she mentioned the fact that you could be looking for a new job and you'll always have a friend who says, I know someone that's in that area, or I know someone who's there. This design world is so much smaller than you realize it is. When you start getting into it, I always use this word incestuous. It just seems that everyone who works at the firms that you work at is going to be working at a different firm that you're going to look at in the future. And so every time you're looking for jobs, you just go to LinkedIn, look at people, you see 15 people from your college are here. And coming from Cincinnati, even out here in California, it's just, there's all these connections that you'll constantly see the same faces popping up over and over again. So not only is it important to get to know as many of these people as possible and build that network, also don't burn any bridges. That's something to keep in mind because that will come up someday. And so you want to create a healthy network and create good relationships with as many people as possible, because it also helps to do our job. Even if you're not looking to work with these people again, you're going to be working alongside other planners for your entire career. We're all working towards the same goals to help the communities that we're working in. We're working in the private field. We're all going to be working on plans around the world together. And so the more good relationships you have with these planners, the more fun that work is going to be, and the more it can really help you down the line with all these different opportunities that may come up.
That was really great. I love that. Just wanted to, yeah, Sam, I'll let you move on through the discussion, but I just wanted to, I loved that.
Yeah. And something that Brittany said that, like, and Kyle was alluding to, that I've been having a lot of conversations about, just like as I get ready to go to this conference, and I've been like having a lot of chats with people that I work with who are like more experienced and like have been in the field a lot longer than me. And they're like, it might feel like when you're going to like this networking event that you need to be talking to like the senior principal, blah, whatever, like the highest people at these firms. But like, the more that you can get to know people that are like younger and emerging and still like getting their footing in the field, like they're going to be the people that you see grow with you. And like when yes. you are at a level of like you're, you know, the boss, or like you're a principal or you're an associate or whatever it is, like they're going to be there with you. And so the more that you can leverage that, like that network, even if you feel like, okay, why am I talking to someone who's only been in the field for a year, like whatever, which is like a, not a great way of looking at networking anyway, but I think that it's just like important to think about the like longevity of relationships. And, you know, someone who is at like LA Metro right now as a planner might be, you know, a chief of something in 10, 20 years. So just thinking about, oh, like these people are also going to be growing at the same time that you are. And so if you're talking to, you know, younger planners at networking events, like that's not time wasted, and that's a great connection to be building. And so just, it's something that's made me feel a lot more comfortable in networking events, that I don't have to approach like the most intimidating person there. Like I can approach someone who like also looks nervous, and then like we can, you know, have that connection. So yeah, I just wanted to put that out there, because it's something that kind of changed my perspective on networking relatively recently, where I was like, you're right. Like the people that like the principals at my firm have been talking to and working with for like 20 plus years, we're also like young and nervous and new to the field at some point. So yeah. But on that note, I think we've all kind of alluded to ways to kind of like kickstart networking, but I'm curious, the three of you or whoever feels comfortable talking about like finding ways to kind of kickstart networking as a young or emerging planner. I know like APA is a great resource, but like in school, like if you had, you know, experiences with like cohort, like people in your cohort or professors or people in internships, like that would be great if we could hear a little bit about that.
I've got a very interesting way in just the fact that Tony is my roommate. So I was networking by looking for new roommates, and was on, I think it was like roommatefinder.com, and saw Tony's profile that said I'm an urban planner. And I was like, wow, that's awesome. That sounds like a perfect match for me. So networking doesn't have to be at sanctioned events. If you see other people who seem to be passionate about the same thing you're passionate about, start those conversations. And there's a good chance that they are in our field or related to our field, or maybe they didn't even know about our field and you can introduce them to our field, and that's going to change their life. And so there's all these different informal opportunities for networking as well. And on that note, planning itself is also a very multifaceted field. And so like back in college, I helped run this organization called Cleanup Sensei. I founded it, and we were just doing beautification, trash cleanup throughout the city. But in order to do that effectively, you need to work with communities. You need to bring communities into the cleanups and show that you're basically just giving them the manpower. You want to give them a busload of students but then the community has to be there to show the students where they need help cleaning up. And then that empowers the community to clean this creek that they've been just pushing off, or to clean this dumping site that's just been driving them insane and that they've never felt like they have the power to handle. But if you can show them that with some help, they can get it done, then the next time they go walking their dog, they're just going to clean up the few pieces that got thrown away in that same spot that stops it from becoming a problem again. And so through Cleanup Sensei, I got to really get to know a lot of other communities and got to meet with city commissioners for the city, and all of that becomes networking. I mean, it seems like doing Cleanup Sensei isn't necessarily me networking for my career, but it really has created a lot of amazing contacts for me around the tri-state area in Cincinnati, and even people that have now moved out here to California. So everything you do, just make good relationships with other people, and it helps in every way of your life, but it'll also help with your career too.
All right. And just like leveraging your overall existing conditions with your immediate network, for example, like Jonathan Pacheco Bell, I know we talk a lot about him on these podcasts, but you know, just
because we love him.
Yeah. Just building that real relationship with planners. I mean, every planner has, you know, authentic, genuine passion for urban planning. And so just leveraging those connections, Jonathan and I, you know, we do a lot of outreach with nonprofits in SoCal. He's helped me a lot with the symposiums for community colleges and just, yeah.
Yeah, I think sometimes it's in those spaces that are not strictly for a happy hour networking event that something beautiful can happen, of just getting to know other people, whether I think Kyle and Tony also alluded to this, just maybe are adjacent, or sometimes it's the most random places, like getting your nails done, and they're like, what do you do? And then we're like, let's talk about it. Let's bring up urban mm-hmm. planning. And they're like, oh, why don't you like the gondola in LA? I have a bunch to say. but I think for me, it also just begins just having things that you're kind of passionate about, whether going to hiking clubs, walking clubs, or even just something out of the ordinary can bloom something beautiful, because you just see different people in different careers and you're able to connect and like, actually, I'm working on this project that's similar to what you're talking about. And I think also when you're actually at a happy hour or kind of a professional event, whether it be Urban Land Institute, WTS, or even an APA conference, you know, sometimes you often see someone from your network and it's great to just kind of chat, follow up, and then see what they're going through or what's going on in their life. And then sometimes it's like, oh, I would love to learn more, and just pivot on to getting to know people in their workplace or the organizations they're part of. Because everyone has, I feel like I've come to learn, urban planners have a lot of hobbies. We just love to talk, get out there. So I think even getting connected to those hobbies is really wonderful to get to know other people, whether it's in the planning world or similar, closely related. So mm-hmm. I think it just starts with something simple as, how are you doing? What are you watching? How long was your commute? Sometimes everyone can talk about that, but it's impossible, isn't it?
Yeah. Right, go ahead, Tony.
Yeah. Even if you're introverted, you don't really have to go outside and physically meet people. You'd also use online platforms. For example, your podcast has been great. I've met a lot of interns throughout California that even said they learned planning because of your podcast. And just even following YouTube channels and Twitter accounts, Instagram accounts, you know, even if you don't have a traditional planning degree, you just learn about planning.
Absolutely. I feel like, you know, kind of the key takeaways from what everyone's responses were kind of alluding to is that there are these really non-traditional ways that you can kind of grow a network. And I think, Brittany, you had kind of touched upon introducing the fact that like your friends are kind of the very first like front of your network, and everyone had kind of touched upon that. And when I think about that, I think about just even when I was in school with Sam, I was a commuter student, so I didn't actually like stay on campus and hang out. I went to my classes and I left. So Sam really was like a network like just really helped me with my networking because Sam was constantly like sharing like, hey, here's what's going on, you know, like at USC, or here's what's going on here, or here's this like resource that you can look at. And Sam was very interconnected. And so I do think that's like a really great benefit of building strong relationships with people, because there are things that either you don't have access to because you simply don't know, or you don't have access because you don't have the opportunity to, but maybe someone else in your network does. And so they're able to connect you with other things. Sam's actually the reason why I got my job that I have now, which is really crazy. So, you know, having like the recruiter reach out to her on LinkedIn, and then she like connects me with this recruiter that's like, oh yeah, like here's this job opportunity. And it was literally not anything that Sam was interested in, but she was like, oh, but Natalie is. And literally I forgot just like, about connected that. Us. Yeah, you looked at me right now, like, yeah. No, I mean, like, it's really funny to, because you don't think about the ways in which people can inadvertently really help you in your career, in urban planning, or, you know, in a similar professionally related career. But I think I want to jump from non-traditional to kind of talking about like a traditional networking event. And I want you guys to kind of share some tips for our listeners that if they're at a traditional networking event, kind of what are ways that they can approach other folks during an event? What are some good icebreakers, or just ways that they can kind of like meaningfully connect with people? And then what's your advice for like the follow-up? Like what's a good way to follow up with somebody? Is it social media? Is it an email? Is it, you know, what are your kind of pieces of advice around that?
Yeah, I think it's very important to start with a goal in mind, especially before you go to the networking event. You know, before attending a network event or reaching out to someone, think about what you want to achieve, why you're going to the event, and, you know, start writing down what kind of job you're looking for, your interest, what kind of mentor you're kind of looking for as well. And then when you go to the actual event, you kind of have this list of items you kind of want to touch on, who you want to meet. And once you do get that connection, you do want to, I kind of really rely on LinkedIn. I think it's kind of very traditional way to stay in touch with planners. A lot of people are on LinkedIn. You know, I get a lot of business cards, but I don't really use it. I use LinkedIn pretty much for everything now, and just, you know, keeping in touch with students or mentors that I still meet today.
Yeah. Oh, sorry. I think Tony is definitely right on this, that if you come in with an objective, what you're looking for, it comes with ease. And I think just having some simple questions, I feel like the biggest openers, like, of course, getting to introduce yourself, but also what projects are you working on? I feel that can go from a 5-minute talk to a half an hour talk. And I've had those situations, and just kind of highlighting maybe from, I think it's really critical when you're in those positions. I think sometimes we have some anxiety and we're like, I need to blurt out what I am, what I want to do. But I think it's also very critical to, you know, take a deep breath and also be an active listener. Because if you're able to hear kind of the story and kind of connect back, it really shows the person that you're trying to network with how passionate you are about this and how you are very eager to learn from them. And of course, that can transpire into maybe connecting to job opportunities or finding a new mentor. And I think for me, I'm always looking for mentors, and I think it comes at different levels. So I think it's similar to what Tony was saying, having an objective, being an active listener, kind of sharing what your interests are, and that can just provide opportunities to go about. And of course, a lot of people like bring, you know, cars and whatnot, but if you're able to get an email, I think it's always wonderful to follow up. I always appreciate scheduling from Gmail to get to that 8 a.m. because it shows, wow, it's top of the morning. They're focused on following up. And way back in high school, I remember another mentor of mine talked about the beauty of written letters. And I feel like that's such a lost art form, but if you're able to be connected with this person, maybe have connections with their office, writing a beautiful thank you letter. I always have a stack of thank you cards, whether I go traveling and I'm staying at my partner's family's house, I always like writing a thank you note or just having a thank you note to whomever. I think that just shows your intentions of creating this strong relationship in a professional manner.
Yeah, a lot of these networking events are going to breweries, going bowling alleys. Don't forget to have fun. People come into these networking events and they're so nervous and they feel like they're at the middle school dance floor and they don't want to talk to the girls on the other side of the room or the guys on the other side of the room. We're all there to have fun. So the biggest thing is go get the beer if you want to drink a beer, get Coke, otherwise whatever, and just try and be yourself. I mean, we're all planners. We're all kind of our own weird little group of people, right? And so we're all very similar people. And so if you're yourself authentically, that's what's going to resonate with other people. And so it might be scary to walk up to the circle of five people telling stories and try and insert yourself into that circle, but all five of those people aren't talking at the same time, right? So there's going to be an opening there where you're able to interject into the conversation and be able to talk to these to the individuals there and get to know everyone there. And if you're really scared to be able to do that, a great way to start to give yourself a bit of authority at these networking events is volunteer at them. So coming from the volunteer chair, it really does help. Like, they need people to check in at these events. They need people to order the food. They need people to do the name tags and to help people figure out where they're going. And so if you're that volunteer that is introducing people to the event, or you're working with another volunteer and you're at the check-in table, well, you guys are all of a sudden a team. And so you're going to make a really great connection with that person that's volunteering with you. You're going to make great, you're going to see the faces of everyone coming into this event, and they're all going to see your face. Everyone is going to see you and think, oh, this person's important because they were my first face here as I saw this networking event. So getting some of that volunteer opportunity and some of that equity into the event is a really great way to get a leg up if you're not ready to just dive in head first and try and make waves there in the pool of people at the event.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. My first like APA conference experience, I volunteered for the one in Anaheim to do the check-in table, and it was great. I like you said, I saw the face of all the people who were checking in. I like took note of like, oh, they work out, blah, blah, blah. Like, I'm going to try and see if I can, you know, spark up a conversation about what they do or like find them later and try to introduce myself in like a more like formal setting. But yeah, I met all the people I was volunteering with at the check-in table. And yeah, it was a really great opportunity. And you get to give back to a really cool organization or whatever organization that you are wanting to support. But speaking of APA, I think to like wrap it up, it would be great to talk about, I think I'm going to kind of collapse all the APA talking points that we had because they all are related, but like benefits of APA for, especially for early career professionals, and kind of how to get involved. I know like we have a volunteer chair here, so that's great. Like volunteering with different chapters, especially like the local chapter, is great. And then any other like announcements about the conference, any other last pitches for why folks should attend the conference, kind of your, I guess, elevator pitch for why APA and why this conference, if that is not too much of an ask.
Yeah, I might come back in and at the end of this, but to start off, I think a really great perk of the APA that I've been realizing immediately this year is that I'm now part of the AICP study group for this fall. And so coming out of college, I was like, oh, I should do that pilot program and take this test while all this material is fresh in my mind. Of course, I didn't. And so 3 years out of school, I've got to reacquaint myself with code, like planning code and planning law and all these things that me as a private planner working in Saudi Arabia has no exposure to on a daily basis. And so I'm definitely very rusty in all of these things. And so having the opportunity now, every Monday, we're meeting a group of us from all across California. And there's even a guy from Chicago calling in. And so there's about 15 of us that are meeting and just looking at these resources that the APA provided. We've got free study material, books, study guides that have all been made by past planners who have taken and passed the AICP exam. And so you get this tie-in immediately to something that is really hard to look at alone. But as soon as you've got this resource, it makes it a lot easier to start moving towards that goal. And so, yeah, getting those free study materials and getting a group to hold you accountable really helps towards those goals.
Right. And adding on to that, I think one of the biggest efforts that I think all the sections in California have been doing is creating that pipeline of leadership that I mentioned earlier. I know Orange County has a mentorship OC Peel program with the APL and Empire Emerging Planners Group. We kind of self-organized and we had a lot of student volunteers. These volunteers are now have chair and executive positions on the executive board. So it just gave them a lot of confidence and let them, you know, build their reputation and also build their professional identity, which is very important in your early stage professional career development, is just to get that identity in. Going to the events does do that. I'm sure the senior planners and seasoned professionals remember that you keep attending the events, that you are making the effort to network. And so the APA does a great job of creating this pipeline for you to grow within an industry. And so just being involved overall is very important.
And I totally agree. Also, Kyle, I'm also studying for my AICP. So we have our study group actually tomorrow. So I definitely am just trying to get more acquainted with the material. And I think you're able to get a refresher of what planning is, whether it's an academic perspective, a law, understanding the ethics of being an urban planner. But and that's a beautiful thing to connect with other people and planners that are trying to get this accreditation or certification. And so just having that group of supporters that are like, I found this helpful material, or Florida APA actually has wonderful videos that they have Thursday and Saturdays to help you study. And it's very comprehensive. And that's all through APA. And something that Tony touched on is that with APA, you get the opportunities of leadership development and professional development. And I think what's critical is whatever section you are part of, you are not only getting an understanding of where that space and place is and how it functions within urban planning, but also just understanding the understanding what's going on in that city and able to grow and find more information. And I think as urban planners, we're always eager to learn more. What are the new policies or tools that are being created? And that's even being found through the APA conference. Like, that's why I want to go. I want to understand what are the case studies that they are working on and what's being explored through other projects. So I think that's a wonderful thing about exploring through the conference beyond just networking. I want to grow as an urban planner and also grow my network and be a better urban planner for my community. And I think that's what APA provides. So Kyle, I will definitely probably network and follow up with you because I would love to volunteer myself. And it just starts with simple acts like that.
That's awesome. Great. Yeah. And Kyle, did you have anything else that you wanted to add about?
Yeah. So just another big thing about the power of conferences is in our day-to-day at work, we start to get burnt out, really siloing into the one big project that you've been working at or the one charrette that you're working towards. And so it starts to feel hopeless at times that you don't feel like you're really getting the impact that you're hoping to create, or you feel like you're just staring at an InDesign document all day. And what conferences really do is they bring you out of that and they help you see the whole world of planning that you were excited to be a part of when you're in school and you're constantly doing different classes that see different parts of planning. And so conferences are kind of like a little battery recharge. You get to go to this conference, you get to listen to people talk about their successes in planning, talk about their failures and what they've learned, and to see how all of these different experiences are not only possible for your future, but they're happening all around you all the time. And so it's exciting to be a part of planning. And so go get your battery recharged, go to the conference, and it'll help you get back to work feeling refreshed and beat that burnout and feel a lot more excited for your day-to-day job. And if you are scared about the cost, if you're a student listening, volunteering can also be a way to mitigate that cost. You may not know this, but volunteers get $100 reimbursement for their time, for just 4 hours of your time. And the conference itself, if you sign up now as a student, I think is at $175 now. So if you sign up, $175, I know it sounds like a lot as a student. It would for me, absolutely, it still does. But if you get $100 reimbursement, it's only $75. You get free meals. You get, there'll be things all over the conference that are make it well worth your time. So if you have any family connections, friends, anyone in Riverside, find a free place to stay for the weekend and come out to the conference and hit up the volunteer portal and let us know that you'd like to volunteer some time and make it nice and more affordable for you.
Awesome. Thank you guys all for kind of sharing all of that. Sam and I are really happy that we were just kind of able to give you guys an opportunity to come on and speak to a lot of our young and emerging planners who are listeners. And I think that was, you know, everything that you guys touched upon is either something that Sam and I can both relate to, experiences that we've had, things that I've also found helpful. Like I learned new things today, got some new perspectives, which was great. I think I want to conclude with like our kind of last and final question, which is just if you're comfortable with doing so, or if you want to make it like a little surprise for everyone, but if you're comfortable doing so, if you could just kind of share some of the activities or events that are planned and specifically kind of catered to young and emerging planners, just to maybe give like a little overview of what our listeners can expect if they are interested in attending the conference. And then I also just, if you can plug like the website so that people know where to go when they're signing up. And Sam and I will also put it in the show notes.
Sure, I guess I can do that since I'm the student day chair and part of the conference host committee. So yeah, we have a really robust program for the student day activities. Also kind of prolong it for the Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. Typically, the student day is only for Saturday as part of the four-day conference, but we're trying to have more student activities and student day sessions. So just for a couple listing of them, I know Sam and Nat, as part of your Urban Planning is Not Boring podcast, you guys are doing a professional career development session, our Urban Planning is Not Boring Unplugged, which will give some insights for professional growth. We're also doing Your Dream Job May Not Exist Yet. This is the long and winding road for planning careers. Another session would be Cultivating Your Internship for a Successful Planning Career. What students what want from employers through the CPF, which is the California Planning Foundation. Dude, Where's My Job, which is about finding your way into the planning profession. Other student YEP activities include program. We're working on this now, but we should have this done by next week, where we'll be reaching out to mentors and mentees at the conference to kind of pair students with seasoned professionals. I know, I think last episode, Sam, you had mentioned that you were kind of nervous during your first conference. So we're trying to alleviate this by having a buddy program, where you feel kind of more comfortable, where we pair you with an actual professional there. We'll also be having some headshots from professionals where you can update your LinkedIn, your profile photos, career day resume workshops. As part of the Inland Empire section, we'll be having some resume interview workshops on Sunday. And then to cap off the Saturday student day, we'll be having a mixer sponsored by Fair and Peers and Four Leaf Inc. This will be a mixer for students and young emerging planners. Kind of be a fun night, you know, to just end the student day, but also have more career development activities. We'll have some also bingo card network events where you'll have a bingo card when you attend. You can, you know, some of the tasks will be take a selfie with Sam and Nat at the conference, or follow their page, meet a mentor there. And we'll announce the winners at the student mixer as well. And then on Saturday, we're also having a tactical urbanism workshop. This is with SCAG in the city of Riverside, where we'll be utilizing Fish Street and Orange Street to implement actual tactical urbanism workshops. So that'll be kind of fun there as well. And yeah, as Kyle mentioned, we are still looking for volunteers for the conference. You do get $100 stipend if you are a student. I'm not sure the website by hand, but I'm sure you guys will include it. But just a reminder, it is this month, September 28th through October 1st.
Great. Oh my gosh. Okay. Well, if I wasn't already attending the conference and I heard that, I'd be like, yeah, I want to go to Dude, Where's My Job? Are you kidding me? That sounds so exciting. Okay. This is great. How fun. Guys, if you're listening, go to the conference. And then also you can come see me and Sam, and we'd love to see you guys. So yeah, just again, thank you guys so much. for coming on, for speaking with us. I think it's always, I mean, we all just networked right now for an hour, even though we were kind of like required to do it because we're recording an episode, but it was still fun. So thank you guys so much for joining and just kind of sharing all the information. We'll make sure to kind of put all of the resources out there for all of our listeners to know where to go, how to sign up, and, you know, just kind of what information to get. So yeah, thanks. And Sam, I'll let you conclude it if you want to say anything else.
No, just thank you for taking time. I know it's Saturday morning, so we appreciate you taking the time to chat, and hopefully we can stay connected and see everyone at the conference.
Thank you so much for listening. We really hope that you enjoyed this episode of Urban Planning is Not Boring. If you did, please remember to send us to your friends and follow us wherever you get your podcasts.
Remember, guys, urban planning is not boring.
No, it is not.